The gates to the Rose Garden are now open. Welcome to my world. You are listening to Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham, a reflective conversation where I share the lessons I've learned on this journey called life. I don't have all the answers, but I do have plenty of questions. My name is Danielle Moneyham, and this is my love letter to the world, where I let my soul speak. Let's talk. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I'm in the Rose Garden today, and I have my lovely co-host with me. Good afternoon, Queen B-Locked.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm well.
Thank you for joining me as I introduce and welcome us, or usher us into October, which is scary. It's right in time for one of my favorite holidays, Halloween. And I want to start to bring back a topic that we talked about last year, something that is near and dear to my heart, that is scary and terrible and awful. Da, 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 da. Da, da, da. Cue creepy organ music. Just imagine the darkest, weirdest place with an organ, and you play the creepy, "Here Comes the Bride" music. Except she's not a bride. She's a bridezilla.
Ooh.
Ooh. Today, I'm talking about bridezillas and how for some, there are two types of brides, right? There are some brides who's been waiting on this moment her entire life. And there are other brides that never thought about this day. I would like to introduce the idea that there are also two types of bridezillas. One would have been a bridezilla no matter what. It didn't matter. She would have been a bridezilla no matter what. In other cases, like in my case, I have learned that bridezillas are made. I never thought in a million years that my wedding planning process would result in the creation of a playbook to survive wedding planning season. I was losing power day by day, and instead of experiencing my bridal glow up, I was experiencing a fiance meltdown. If Rick James thought cocaine was a hell of a drug, fiancehood is a hell of a ride. The time between girlfriend and wife can be harrowing, especially when you have to deal with bullshit that you never ever saw coming. But I am thankful for my team and my crew that saved me. I've talked about them before, and now I am opening the gates to the Rose Garden for all of the frustrated fiancés and bully brides to come in and tell their stories about how bridezillas are made and how you overcame your bridal bullshit to get to your dream and have your be a bride moment and not become a bridezilla. What is a bridezilla? Do you have any ideas of what a bridezilla is, Queen
Bee? Well, if I had reference to the show Bridezilla, just really crazy women who have like these really crazy ideas. They're just angry and they want what they want when they want it, which, I mean, I guess it's your wedding, but I guess they just go about it in a just really negative way. The show is the women are pretty angry. Like, I've seen fights. I've seen everything.
It can be a lot. The official definition for a bridezilla is a woman whose behavior in planning her wedding is regarded as obsessive or intolerably demanding. Yeah. Does that sound about accurate?
Yep. Sounds about right.
Intolerably demanding, meaning they ain't taking no more shit, period. We are here now. So for some people, they would have been that way anyway. But others, like me, if I got to that moment, it would have been like, I ain't a killer, but I ain't a zilla, but don't push me. You pushed me. We here now. First piece of advice for all bullied brides and frustrated fiancés, from the very beginning, you have to remember that this moment is about you and your partner, period. Juxtapose that with the advice my planner gave me. It's your marriage, but it's their wedding. So you have to figure out a way to make it about you and your partner, and this celebration and ceremony is a showing of gratitude for all the people who came out to support you. That sounds about right.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to be.
That's how it's supposed to be. But what happens when people think that it's their wedding? Period.
Cues the very scary music.
What happens when people that are not you and your partner think that it is their wedding? Which gets to the first point, picking your team.
Most important thing.
Queen Bee Locked was one of my bridesmaids. And she knows from the very beginning. She has known me from before this relationship began. So I can say she's known me from the beginning. We've watched these shows for years. It's part of the culture. You know, you can watch Say Yes to the Dress. You can watch Four Weddings. Any day of the week, you can find a wedding show. And they are entertaining.
They are.
I knew what I wanted for my wedding for years. So what happens when you actually become engaged? It's not your wedding anymore.
That's true. It becomes everybody's wedding.
So what happened with mine is that I knew I did not want bridesmaids, but I knew I wanted my team. What's the difference? Queen Bee, you've been a bridesmaid. What does it mean to be a bridesmaid?
Whew. First of all, it takes a lot of time, money, and dedication. To be a bridesmaid, you have to really genuinely love that person. You have to be in the right headspace to be able to be an effective bridesmaid. You have to learn how to be selfless, because a lot of your wants, your needs kind of get pushed to the side. Ultimately, because somebody that you love is, it's their moment. They're living in their moment. And if you are a good bridesmaid, if you are on a team and you really believe in teamwork, then the healthy way, or the healthy traits that you have to have, are being selfless, being patient, sometimes being hungry, sometimes being frustrated, being angry, but still loving your friend, your cousin, your sister, whomever, enough that you're willing to carry them down the aisle so they get to see their husband. If you don't have those characteristics, you need not to be a bridesmaid.
And I appreciate you talking about like the competencies behind the role, but even from the beginning with like the duties and the cost. See, the emotional stuff can be really heavy, because you really have to pour into this person who is going through this transition. But the actual cost, not even what it just cost you emotionally, mentally, spiritually, how much did it cost you to be a bridesmaid?
So I think that depending upon the bridesmaid, the bride, I think for a really nice wedding that's not super over the top, but really nice, I think that you need to have in your mind that you're going to spend at least $1,500. Like, you need to have that in your mind. That needs to be like, okay, this is my number. That number can go up. That number can go down. But you need to at least know, okay, I need about $1,500. You need to also know that you're going to have to take some time off of work. You're going to need some PTO, some sick time, something, because it's going to take some time and it's going to take a lot of money.
On average, bridesmaids will spend about $1,324 per wedding that they are in. On average, in America, in 2019, it will cost about $1,324. What does that money include as a bridesmaid? Stuff that you may have thought about, but also stuff that you may not have thought about. It, of course, includes your dress, your hair, your makeup, your shoes, your nails, your jewelry. Sometimes brides can cover the cost of some of that. Sometimes they can't. So you just got to make sure it's already on your list. It also includes travel and accommodations. Are you having a bridal shower? Are you having a bachelorette party? Are you having an engagement party? Sometimes the wedding party will fund that. Are you guys riding anywhere together? Are you doing any photo shoots? Are you having any activities? Will there be snacks? How are you telling people about these events that you are throwing for your bride? You got to pay for postage and invitations. Are y'all wearing shirts? Oh, what about gifts? How about giveaways? All of this stuff that you may think of, you may not think of, but when you commit to being a bridesmaid,
you better have that $1,500 ready.
You better have that money ready.
Absolutely. And you know, part of picking your team is your team knowing, like, okay, I'm going to have to come out of pocket for that $1,500 and really sacrifice. If you don't have it, but you really want to be a part of the big day, and it becomes a bill. You just learn how to sacrifice. Like, okay, I'm going to put my little coins to the side. You know, I got to get, you know, the basic things that you need. But the other little things, like sometimes you just may have to eat oodles and noodles. Sometimes you may have to eat cereal. You can't go out and have the big steak and the tacos on Tuesday and, you know, be at the club, whatever it is that you're doing. Sometimes you have to sacrifice, put that money to the side because, hey, my homegirl, she's getting ready to get married. And I know that I might not have a whole lot of money to work with, but because I love her, because I really genuinely want to be a part of her big day, I'm going to sacrifice. And that's okay.
And I think that to me is part of the key. One, it is a choice. You don't have to be a bridesmaid. It is incredibly expensive and incredibly time consuming and emotionally draining to be a bridesmaid. I did not want bridesmaids. From the very beginning, when I talked about what my dream wedding was, I never saw bridesmaids because I knew how much it cost. I knew that I wanted a certain standard. I knew I wanted my pictures to be a certain way. And I didn't want to be a burden on my friends that I cared about and have them in the middle of your whole adult life have to put all these other things to the side and make these sacrifices to pay for this party, because it is a party. It was beautiful, though. But it's a choice. You don't have to do that. You can still be in someone's wedding. You can still be a part of their day without being a member of the wedding party. People have ushers. People have greeters. People have runners the day of. The bride might need somebody who can be available to do some last minute stuff. There are ways that you can support the bride without being there. But if you want to be there and you want to stand up there and you want to be part of that wedding party, it is a cost. And the person who needs to sacrifice is you, not the bride and not the groom, because it's their day, not yours. Why do people want to be bridesmaids? Do they do it for clout?
They do it for clout. That's all it is. When you were just talking about, like, there are other jobs, I think that people feel like, well, I've been knowing you for 20 years. Like, I should be in your wedding. It's like, well, no, just because you've known me for 20 years, because of the amount of sacrifice and money and everything that it takes to be in a wedding. Like, if you don't have it, it's okay. You can, like you said, you can help out in so many ways. You don't have to stand up there with me. That takes so much. If you don't have it, if you don't have the brain capacity, you don't have the mental capacity, you don't have the money, hell, if you up there, you feeling too fat and you don't want to do it because you don't feel like you're going to be comfortable, then don't do it. At the end of the day, it has to be, this is not about me. This is all about you. So I have to put everything how I may be feeling to the side, because ultimately I want to see my friend, family, whomever, I want to see them happy. But some people will stand up there and just for clout, just to say they was a bridesmaid, just so, oh yeah, this is my brother's wedding, this is my sister's wedding, showing pictures, and you know you ain't did nothing, you ain't contributed nothing, you haven't sacrificed, you don't even really care about the marriage in itself, you just want to look nice in some pictures, you want to be tagged in some Facebook pictures, you want to be on IG with the hashtag. Sometimes, for some people, that's all it is.
That's all it is. Like, you don't even like me, though. Like, how you trying to be in my wedding and you don't even like me? You would be really surprised, brides. Your wedding will trigger people. Yep. baby, you will be so surprised at how people respond. There will be some people who are just incredibly warm, like people that you have not spoken to in forever will send you warm wishes and send you blessings. Crazy. And then people that you knew, I thought you was my homie, but now you act like you don't know me. Like, people will flip on you in the middle of your wedding. And what you don't need is to be trying to have to deal with bridesmaid drama. My story, to bring it back to the origin story of Danielle Moneyham and how we got here in the Rose Garden with the podcast in the first place. My team was trying to hide the bridesmaid drama from me because they were trying to keep me and my husband out of it. They wanted this to be a perfect experience, which, hello, perfection does not exist. They wanted it to be just such a nice experience, and they thought that they could handle that drama on their own. In a perfect world, if this was not a wedding, people could have handled that drama on their own. But because it was so political and tied to relationships that they were not involved in, you can't, as a bridesmaid, I mean, you can, but it's very, very difficult as a bridesmaid to try to hold someone else accountable when you don't have a direct connection with that person. The only thing tying you and this random ass person together is your, quote, love and support of this pending marriage. But you would be surprised how many people really don't care about that pending marriage. They really want what they want from this experience. Bridesmaid drama is something that, unfortunately, is really common, but it does not have to be. When you pick your team, pay attention to who you are putting on your team and why you want them there. Why do you want them to be a bridesmaid? Just because you've known them for 20 years? Or is it because they have been there for you and they know you and what this moment means to you? Will they be there when you are crying in the dark, shaking and mourning your single self because you are about to go through a life change, a legal change, a financial change, everything? Are they going to be there? Are they going to be there in order to help you process your feelings in a safe space? Or are they just going to make you feel more isolated and alone and dismiss all of your emotions and feedback? Pick your team wisely. That's how the podcast got created. I was able to talk to my friends and have a safe space. And I realized I was not the only person who was dealing with bridesmaid drama. I was not the only person who felt isolated and alone as a bride, but I felt alone. So once I realized that I was able to talk and process and people were able to help me figure this thing out and figure out how to move and how to navigate in this space, that's how the podcast got created. And from there, I've been able to try to share all of these random lessons, be it bridezillas are made, whether it be surviving a toxic workplace in the environment, whether it be talking about ghosting and drama in relationships, or whether it's talking about sex. It's taking all of that pain that came from those experiences and turning that power into light so you can be who you needed when you were going through that drama. When my bridesmaids were trying to protect me and keep me from shit that I did not even know what was happening. I didn't even know it was happening because I could have never imagined it. I could not have ever imagined that people who were supposed to be in the wedding, were supposed to be considered family, would have been so angry, bitter, jealous, petty, childish to my friends who were trying to put together events for a wedding. And as a bride trying to fix that, I realized I couldn't fix it. It wasn't on me to fix because I didn't break it. They never should have been there in the first place. So the way to fix it was to get rid of it. The people who should not have been on my team in the first place removed themselves. I was very, 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 very thankful. And after that, we realized the importance of having the right people around you. And it's not just for women, because this shit happens to grooms too. you would be surprised at how many grooms deal with fuckery and foolery during their wedding planning process. And while they are moving towards this life change, people who you thought would have been supporting them showing out or disappearing or just otherwise acting weird.
That's why you have to pick your team on both sides. I know with men, men have this sandbox mentality. I've been knowing that man my whole life. And, you know, you would expect that if you knew somebody your whole life and then this major life event comes around, that they would want to celebrate with you. But unfortunately, just like bridesmaids, groomsmen are not exempt from just wanting clout, just wanting to be a part of the bachelor party and want to stand beside their mans, but not really putting in the work. Like, this is a huge time, not only for the bride, but it's also for the groom. You're going from being single to being married. Your life is about to change drastically. And the piece that I spoke to earlier about being mentally and emotionally competent to be able to handle, to stand beside somebody, you have to be those things, because you need to be able to support the person, your friend, your cousin, your brother. You have to be able to support them. And if you're not in a good mental space, if you're a hater, if you're doing it for clout, you can't offer any advice, any support to a person, you know, that's about to make a major transition in your life, in their life. So again, pick your team wisely, because if you don't, what it will show you is, and it'll probably be after the wedding, like, damn, like, that person really didn't come through for me like the way I thought that they were going to come through. You know, I feel like weddings, you kind of see who people really are. You kind of see who really fuck with you and who really don't fuck with you. I guess that's a good thing, because you know who you can carry on into your new life. But I think that picking your team wisely, like, if you know somebody is just not going to genuinely be happy, you know that they don't have the funds, you know that they're not in a good, they have bad perceptions about marriage, then those probably aren't the people that you want to be standing beside you and supporting you for your next level of your life.
Because you have a choice, and you don't have to pick any of those people. You don't have to pick anybody that is going to compete with you. It's your day. If every time you bring up an idea, all they want to do is talk about how they feel about it or how it affects them, that's not the person for you. You don't have to compete with somebody that's going to compare. And every time you have an idea for your wedding, they're talking about what they did for theirs or how they can do it better. That's not somebody that you want on your team. You don't want a bridesmaid who is extremely lazy, who wants to be there, but they really don't want to be there. They want to show up when they want to show up, and they want to do what they want to do.
They want to clock in and get the pay, but they don't want to do the work. Like, you want to be in the pictures. You want to be at the wedding. You want to be sitting at the head table. You want to be like, oh, this is a picture of my sister, my brother, my cousin. But you didn't really do the leg work. You wasn't with me in the gym shooting.
Was not with me shooting in the gym. Not at all. You also don't want mean girl bridesmaids. Like, this is not the time for, this is just not the time for that. It's just not. Like, this is your moment and your day. It's stressful enough. You got your own stuff to deal with. You really don't need to be trying to fix and manage that. Also, if you know somebody is going through a life transition on their own, consider if you want to ask them. You get to pick who you want to be on your team. And again, even if they aren't bridesmaids, they can be another role. They can be a greeter, a hostess. They can have a role in the wedding. My cousin, I asked her to be a bridesmaid, and she declined because she knew her life was already busy. So she agreed to be the person who put the broom down for us to jump the broom, because I still wanted her to be part of my day, but she couldn't commit to that. So it's just making sure that you pick your team wisely and stay true to who you are on this journey, because your team is going to carry you through this craziness. And it can be beautiful. Planning your wedding does not have to be crazy stressful. As long as you stay committed to who you are, you can stay focused on being a bride and not becoming a bridezilla. Again, I knew that I never wanted bridesmaids, but I knew that I always wanted my team around me. So I'm thankful for my team because they saved me as they became bridesmaids. They were always down for me, title or no title. Whether they were bridesmaids or whether they were just my friends, I knew that they would be down for me. Make sure you surround yourself with people like that who are down for you and who will listen to you, because they will keep you sane. I ain't a Zilla, but don't push me. Bridezillas are made. All right, superstars, we are all out of time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, share, review the episodes, tag a friend, talk to me. Visit DanielleMoneyham.com and follow me on social media to stay connected. Your support means the world to me, so thank you for helping my dreams come true. A major lesson that I learned, that I continue to learn, is that although you will experience dark moments in your journey, you can be the light. You have more power than you know. Until we meet again, shine bright.